Jesus leads the way. Darkness or sunshine, water befall, Jesus the shepherd is my all in all. Pastures abundant doth his hand provide, still waters flowing ever at my side. Goodness and mercy follow on my path. With such a shepherd, nothing can I lack. Following Jesus ever day by day, nothing can harm me when Jesus leads the way. Darkness or sunshine, water befall, Jesus the shepherd is my all in all. When I would wander from the path astray, then he will call me back into the way. Darkest valley, I did fear no ill, for he, my shepherd, will be with me still. Following Jesus, ever day by day, nothing can harm me when Jesus leads the way. Darkness or sunshine, water befall, Jesus the shepherd is my all in all. When labor's ended and the journey done, then he will lead me safely to my home. I shall dwell in rapture sure and sweet, with all the loved ones gathered round his feet. Following Jesus ever day by day, nothing can harm me when Jesus leads the way. Darkness or sunshine, water befall, Jesus the shepherd is my all in all.
Amen. Maybe I could ask you just to stand your feet tonight, and we'll sing one more before our pastor comes. We'll sing number 200, Arise, My Soul, Arise. Shake off thy guilty fears, the bleeding sacrifice in my behalf appears. Before the throne, my surety stands. My name is written on his hand. So there we go. There's the gospel once again in these old hymns. The bleeding sacrifice, that's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, before the throne, my surety stands. You know what that means? It means if you had a loan and somebody was your surety, it's a guarantee. It'll never fail.
Amen.
And it'll never fail. The blood of Jesus Christ will never fail.
Amen.
My name is written on his hands, in those nail-pierced hands. Amen. 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 Let's sing this. Amen.
Arise, my soul, arise. Shake off thy guilty fear. The pleading sacrifice in my behalf appears. Before the throne, my surety stand. Before the throne, my surety stand. My name is written on his hand. He ever lives above for me to intercede. Is all redeeming love, his precious blood to bleed. His blood atoned for all our race, his blood atone for all our race, and sprinkles now the throne of grace. Five bleeding wounds he bears, received on Calvary. They pour effectual prayer, they strongly plead for me. Forgive him, oh, forgive, they cry. Forgive him, oh, forgive, they cry. Nor let that ransomed sinner die. The Father hears him pray, his dear anointed one. He cannot turn away the presence of his Son. His Spirit answers to the blood. His Spirit answers to the blood and tells me I am born of God. My God is reconciled. His pardoning voice I hear. He owns me for his child. I can no longer fear. With confidence I now draw nigh. With confidence I now draw nigh. And Father, Abba, Father, cry.
Praise the Lord bless each one tonight. And I know it's warm in here. When I come in tonight, I thought I was coming into an oven. Praise the Lord. So if you're too hot, open one of them windows. Because I know it's hard. When it gets hot and you get comfortable, it's hard to keep the eyes open. It was Brother Brian Freeborn told me once, he says you should have a meeting open and a window open in the meeting all the time. Let the airflow. And maybe he's right, but praise God. The Lord bless you tonight. You know, I was thinking today, some people's missing tonight. I was thinking, sometimes when some people's missing, and the old enemy would say, you know, what are you preaching, all the rest of it? And I thought to myself, I'll go at it even more. Because, you know what I thought to myself? I went away in the office and I said to myself, if I do my part, then God has to do his part. When I have done my part, God will have to do his part. I can't do God's part and you can't. And we can't try to do it. But we can do our part. And I trust I've done my part and you do your part. And then the Lord will do his part. And it's the Lord's work. And only the Lord can add to that work. Let's turn tonight till John 13. And I want to preach on the rapture. And, you know, when I say the word rapture, it means catching up, catching away. But the rapture is just a shorter word to say catching away. It's well known amongst all Christians what it means, but if you've maybe never heard it, it means catching away, caught away, rapture. So when I mention the rapture, it's no big revelation, I'm just meaning catching away. And we know, in a sense, it's not the second coming of the Lord, but the Lord does come between his first and second coming. In the catching away. Because in the rapture or the catching away, he does not come to earth. We'll meet him in the air. In his first coming, he comes to earth. And then after the rapture, after we go back to heaven, the bride of Jesus Christ comes with the Lord on the Mount of Olives when he comes right on the earth. But there's a rapture. Can be called as a secret rapture, catching away. It's only for the real believers. And I want to talk a bit about that tonight. And it's just simple. It's nothing you don't know. But I felt to mention it tonight again. And I was very near going to do the live thing tonight. And I might start it again, because the devil doesn't like it done. And people, there's a lot of rubbish on Facebook, so I thought maybe I should start preaching on it. Give them something on it to listen to. And I tell you, the last time I was on her, there was people listening they'd never, ever think would ever come to a meeting or anything, but they're listening in. On safe, real. Tell you, people that never would go through a church door. I was surprised myself at someone that was listening. Now, what happens is it's up to them, God, but they've heard it. They've heard the gospel. Let's read verse 36 of John 13. Verse 36. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered unto him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now. But thou shalt follow me hereafter. Let's bow our heads tonight. And if you have a request, just lift your hand up to the Lord if you want prayer for anything tonight. And you know you've told the Lord yourself, and we're going to remember in prayer this evening. God bless each one that's here. Heavenly Father, we just thank you tonight for the precious blood of the Lamb of God and for the Holy Spirit. Lord, I cast down all reasoning, all vain imagination, every thought that will exalt itself against the knowledge of the truth, I cast down. And I pray that the mind of Jesus Christ will be in us tonight, and that every spirit will be subject to the Holy Spirit. And I do take the Holy Ghost to help me right now. And I thank you for it. Pray for the hands that's raised, you know, every prayer and every need. Father, I ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll meet every single need and answer every prayer. Pray in this service tonight that you'll speak to us. Encourage us and strengthen each one, and save those that's not saved, and heal those that need your touch. Move again on me, Auntie Eiling, and my sister, and any others that need your touch tonight. But thank you for what you've done and for what you're going to do. Bless Brother Brian over in Australia and touch him. Lord, the people that we've been praying for over there as well, may you touch them and heal them in the name of the Lord. We ask you for Brother Hard tonight. Touch him and minister unto him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask for the backslidden tonight, that you'll move upon them and speak to them. And Lord, for those that could have come tonight but never came, we commit it all to thee. And Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit will have free course in this house tonight. And we pray for Brother Gary especially tonight, and for as they sing and worship, that the Spirit of God will use them and move them and give them words to speak tonight that he never even knew he would speak. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray, and may the Lord have his way in all. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. You know, on the night before the crucifixion, the disciples were greatly concerned when the Lord told them he's about to leave them. They were concerned. And in John 13, 36, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, ye cannot follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Then the Lord went on to tell us his disciples not to be worried or troubled, but he would return to take them to heaven. So people have an idea. Brother so-and-so began this doctrine of the catching up of the rapture, but I'm sorry, none of them did. The Lord's the one that began it. And then I'm going to show you that Paul the apostle was the one that preached it to the early church. Going to show you that tonight. But this is not a revelation that God gave to somebody in our age and all of a sudden they knew about it. Jesus already preached it. He preached it. And some people say you could never see it in the Old Testament. Well, I would disagree with that, because I could preach it from the Old Testament, because we know Enoch walked with the Lord and God took him. John 14, verse 1 to 3, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. These are the words of the Lord. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. These are the words of the Lord Jesus while he's on earth. This promise is the first mention that the Lord's going to come again and he's going to take them of this earth. And you could call it the catching up. The raptures would say it's the same thing. But it is a promise of the Lord that he's coming for his people. And the Lord Jesus tells them, comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another with these words. The disciples didn't know, I'm sure, at that time what he was saying. I'm sure they didn't fully understand what he was saying, because they thought that Christ would establish an earthly kingdom while they were living in their time. They thought that he would rescue the nation of Israel in their time. They thought all the persecutors and all that in their time, that there would be a judgment, and each one of them would judge one of the 12 tribes of Israel. That's what the disciples thought. But the Lord Jesus is talking about something in the future. And he's telling his disciples, don't be troubled for him coming again. And not only is he saying I'm coming again, but he's telling them, I am going to prepare a place for you. Then there's a wee verse says, I have not seen, ear have not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him, who are called according to his promise. The Lord has went to prepare a wonderful place for the real believer. And he's coming for us. The Lord is coming for us. Now in Matthew 19, verse 28 to 30, just to verify what I'm preaching, and I'm going to be using the scriptures, and I won't be long tonight. And Jesus saith unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So I believe the disciples thought it was at his earthly time while he was here that this was all going to happen. But the Lord is showing them a bigger picture and a bigger period than what they realize. And isn't that true of so many things? God can speak to us about anything and we can think it'll happen tomorrow morning, but it mightn't happen for years. But God still said it. In verse 29, and every one that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or fathers or mothers or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. You see, they didn't have a full understanding of Christ's statement that revealed he would return from heaven at a later date and would come to earth again when he'd establish his kingdom. And even that statement in itself is deeper than just the catching up or the rapture. Because not only is there going to be a rapture, but the Lord himself will come back with the saints after the rapture, after the honeymoon period. And we'll come on this earth with the Lord, and we're going to live and reign with the Lord in this earth for 1,000 years. But they thought he would establish his kingdom then. Much later, Paul was converted, Paul the Apostle, on the road to Damascus, and God revealed to Paul the doctrine of the catching up, or the rapture. God revealed it to Paul. Paul preached it. And every one of us used Paul's writings to teach it. But you know the difference in the church today and the church in Paul's time? You know many sermons it took Paul to bring them to the spot to where he preached about the rapture? 3 Sundays. Took him 3 Sundays. Do you say, Brother Tom, where do you get that? To get it in the Bible. I'm going to show you it in a minute. But you see, some people say, Brother Tom, you couldn't preach on the rapture because the people wouldn't know what you're talking about. They're not long enough saved. That's the mistake we make. We need to preach the full counsel of God and get at it. And people that are really born again and following the Lord shall be fit to see it. And Paul preached it. Paul taught it. Paul taught this in teaching his new converts, Acts 17, verse 1 to 3. Let's read this. Now when they had passed through Apollos and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them 3 Sabbath days, reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered, risen again from the dead, and that Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. Paul preached them the truth, didn't he? On 3 Sabbaths, Paul preached the death and the resurrection of Christ, and you can read on in the coming of the Lord. That's what Paul preached. Paul preached here 3 Sabbath days. He must have introduced them to the doctrine of the rapture. Here's why. Or the catching up. Whatever you want to call it. For later, they asked him. The Thessalonians later asked him the questions about it. And you can read that in Thessalonians. And when Paul wrote his 2 letters to the Thessalonians, he explained about the catching up. According to in his 1st letter, Paul spoke to the people as believers who wait for the Son from heaven. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So we're waiting still. Now I know there's people not waiting. There's a wonderful group of people that are no longer waiting on the Son from heaven. According to them, he's come. He's already come. But the problem is with the doctrine they preach, it doesn't follow Scripture. Because if the Lord's already come, and he's already appeared in the air, and they call it the rapture, and it's already happened and took place, why are we here? And where's the millennium reign? The dates and times don't match that doctrine. So it's not a doctrine from the Bible. It's a doctrine from somebody's imagination. That's the problem with that doctrine. And Paul tells us we're waiting on the Lord from heaven. We're waiting on him. Chapter 2 of Thessalonians, verse 19. For what is our hope or our joy or our crying or our rejoicing? And not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming. We're waiting. Aren't we waiting tonight? We have hope tonight. We're hoping, we're believing, we're waiting on the coming of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 13. To the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God. So Paul's not only telling them the Lord's coming, Paul's not only saying to him, yes, the Lord's going to come, we're waiting. He's went to heaven, but he's coming again. Paul is telling them, if you're washed in the blood of Jesus, if you're really born again, you're blameless under the coming of the Lord. There is no program or no ladder that you will have to climb to get yourself ready. Are you hearing me tonight? So this idea of a preacher that will preach you a message that will suddenly bring on the rapture is a fairy tale of his own imagination. It won't happen. God has a set time when it'll take place. And no man knoweth the day nor the hour, only the Father. Is that the Bible? That's absolutely the Bible. Because if somebody could preach and tell you when it is, then what will you do with the Scriptures? He's coming as a thief in the night. No man will know the day or the hour when he comes. But the Lord is coming. Look at this verse 13. Hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ with all the saints. Now you could say that's the next time when he comes after the rapture. but he's coming. Paul wanted the Thessalonians to understand this doctrine, and he said he did not want them to be ignorant about the plan of God. And God does not want us to be ignorant about his plan. God has a plan, and it's a master plan. There's Thessalonians 4:13, and I'm going to go through a few verses. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. The certainty of the catching up is made absolutely clear when you come down to verse 14. But he's telling us we're not to sorrow. If we have a loved one that's born again, that's saved, that's went on, that's a real true believer, we're not to go about moping and being sorrowful. Because they're in a better place than we are right now. They're absent from the body, and the Bible says they're present with the Lord. And we're not to be sorrowful about it, for they're in a good place. In verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Going to bring them with him. And you say, how would the Lord bring them with him? Because their souls are not in a grave. You see, when we come in here this morning, and we come in here a lot of weeks, and there's a crowd of people up around these tombstones, there's nobody in them graves. All that's in there is dust. But the soul of the man or the woman or the boy or the girl is not in that place. It's either in heaven or hell. And there's no purgatory and there's no limbo land. That's some priest's imagination. There's no in between. It's heaven or hell. And if you're washed in the blood of Jesus and born again, you're in heaven. And if you're not born again, you're in hell. And I believe a child that dies before it comes to the age of accountability, which the Jews say is 14 or 15, they're in heaven. And I don't believe this doctrine that a child at 4 or 5 goes to hell. Absolute rubbish. I tell you, it's not the Bible. They have to come to an age of accountability. We serve a just God, a holy God. And I tell you, all them wee babies that's been aborted and murdered, they're in heaven. And you see, people of this idea, he's dead and he's gone and God's forgot about it. But there's going to be a resurrection of the unbeliever. There's a resurrection of the believer, but there'll be a resurrection of the unbeliever as well. And every single one of them will stand before God. And they'll have to give an account. I tell you, I could start tonight in a lot of things, but I'm not going to go down that road. But I tell you, we have people on the radios in this country, and there's an old pervert was found out recently up in Newry, and the top man on the radio here, as he calls himself, was going to do all in his power to bring all to justice. He never done a thing. Nothing he done. And I better watch what I call him, for I have names for him, but I couldn't tell you them. But let's be honest about it. When a minister of the gospel preached against a satanic movement, that same Boyle done his best to get him into jail. And when they saw that minister had no fear of jail, and that had stirred up a lot more than they anticipated, there wasn't a whole lot more about it. He had to go to court, mind you. They took him to court. But what about these boys here? There's no mention of court. Sure there's not. I'm glad the Lord's coming. Paul is telling us that this is certain. This is not just a wee story. This is certain. Because the people believe in the death and resurrection of Christ. Which once this prophecy, this is what the Lord told them. The Lord's words are coming to pass. These are not the words of someone. These are the words of the Lord. And you know the first prophecies came to pass unto us a child is born. And these prophecies and words of Jesus, I'm coming again for you. They're going to come to pass. And I tell you, it's going to happen. You can be certain of it. Even so, God will bring with him them who sleep in Jesus. Let me read you from verse 15 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. So this is a coming of the Lord. Now we know it's not the coming down onto the earth, but it still is called the coming of the Lord. Can we agree with that tonight? Still a coming of the Lord. So for somebody to say it's not any coming at all, that's wrong as well. See, we have to watch for Scripture. We're rightly divided. It is a coming. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, hallelujah, and with the voice of the archangel. And many Bible scholars believe this is Michael. Because when you read of an archangel in the Bible, it's Michael. Now, I'm not saying it's 100% right or not. I'm just dropping that in. You can do what you want with it. But it's an angel anyhow. It's an archangel. And this archangel, with the voice, with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel coming, and the trump of God and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So all the loved ones that we have buried in our time and even before our time that are really born again, that are saved, and they're ready for heaven, they will rise before we leave here. There'll be a resurrection. And the graves are cut open. But you read, they're coming with the Lord, for their soul comes with the Lord. Soul doesn't come out of the grave, but their body's resurrected out of that grave. And they're transformed. And I'm going to show you that a little later, but that's the Bible. And we're changed. We're not entering heaven the way we're sitting here. We can't. Because this body's not fit to enter it. It's born in sin. And even though we're saved, the Bible says we're waiting on the redemption of the body to wit. We have to be changed. We can't enter the way we are. Hallelujah. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Verse 17. Them which we are alive and remain shall be caught up. That's a catching up. Together with them in the clouds, which we believe is the angels of the Lord, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So we're going to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We won't be separated. We'll be with him. Paul describes a scene that the Lord's coming to the earth above the earth, issuing a loud command. The Lord's issuing a loud command. There's going to be a shout. He's issuing a loud command. Think with me this evening. Think with me to the grave of Lazarus. And you know that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And there's no other resurrection in the life. Jesus is the only one. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. There's no angel or no man can open them graves. Only the Lord. I want you to get that. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And just as Jesus stood over the tomb of Lazarus and he's dead for 4 days, and he said, Lazarus, come forth. And he stepped out of them graves. And you know he said his name, because if he hadn't said his name, they'd all raised. But he's going to come with a shout. And he's going to give a shout. And I tell you, when he gives a shout, the graves will open. Is it going to be something? Billy McKinstry will be coming out. Coming out of the grave. Ian McKinstry will be coming out. Keith Anderson, he'll be coming out. Out of the graves. When the Lord gives a shout, them graves are going to be emptied. Hallelujah. For the Lord's coming. And the trump of God. And the voice issuing a loud command. Accompanied by the voice of the archangel. A trumpet call from God will be the signal for the Christians who have died to be resurrected. God will give them a signal. His voice. My sheep hear my voice. And the voice of God is going to speak to the dead. which are living, believing Christians, will be caught up, raptured, caught up with those who are resurrected to meet the Lord in the air. This catching up rapture is described in the clouds. Clouds, the angels of the Lord. Now, I'm going to give you another scripture tonight. And the Bible talks about a great cloud of witnesses. Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we are also accompanied about with a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, every sin, which thus freely beset us. Let us run with patience the race that's set before us. There's a cloud of witnesses round us tonight that we can't even see. And it's a wrong statement to say there's not many of us here tonight. There's a multitude. You can't see them, but they're close. They're close. For the Bible says we're accompanied round about with a cloud of witnesses. It goes further. It says the angels of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear the Lord. If you fear the Lord tonight, then there's angels near. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. Once we meet the Lord in the air, we'll all, on the resurrection saints, go straight to heaven in fulfillment of the prophecy of the Lord Jesus himself to the Father's house. John 14, verse 1 to 3, I'll read it again. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. Paul's exhorting these Thessalonians to encourage and to comfort one another with these promises, with these words. Paul's telling them to do it. Now, Paul's telling them to do it. We need to do it. We need to comfort one another. And we need to be a group of people that believes in the catching up and preaches it and looks forward to it. 9 Corinthians, and I'm almost finished tonight. I told you I wouldn't hold you as long. 1 Corinthians 15 reveals about the rapture, the catching up as well. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 to 52. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. We are going to be changed. God is going to change our bodies like his own glorious body. You know, the Lord Jesus said to Mary, don't touch me yet. I've not ascended to my God and your God. Isn't that what he said? And I tell you, he could walk into them through the wall. They never opened the door and he appeared onto them. And we're going to be changed and we're going to be translated. And we're going to have a new body. And I tell you, you won't have your feelings and stuff like you have here. And all the different things you have here and desires you have here. Heaven's totally different. The Bible says you'll be as the angels. Neither male nor female in that sense. But you'll know one another. But you'll be changed. And Paul says this is a mystery. This passage makes it clear that the present bodies are not suited for heaven because they're subject to decay. These bodies are subject to decay. You can do your best you want with these bodies and you're saved tonight. Sure, we're saved. Most of us in here are saved. But we still can fall sick and things can still happen to us even though we're saved. And we're still going to face death if the Lord doesn't come for us even though we're saved. These are our bodies are decaying because we were born in sin and shape and iniquity. But we've been born again. And there's a seed in us that can't be defiled. That's incorruptible. Hallelujah. And we're going to be changed. Verse 53 of 1 Corinthians 15, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Now, we already saw a picture of this in the Old Testament when you look at Abraham and Sarah. And when you look at Abraham and Sarah, and the Bible says it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Sarah could no longer have children. It ceased to be with Sarah. And Abraham coming 100 years of age, and Sarah, an old woman. And you couldn't have a baby, and if you had one, you couldn't have fed it. You know what I'm saying? It was past that time. But yet with God appears to Abraham in Genesis 18, and he says, Abraham, I am thy exceeding shield and thy great reward. Walk thou before me and be thy perfect. Now, prophet of God said, if God asks for something, there has to be a way for it, or he'll never ask for it. And our perfection tonight is in Christ Jesus through that blood. That's where it is. And you know the power of God came in Abraham and Sarah, and they were transformed. And God changed Sarah from an old woman to the young woman. And God done something in Abraham as well. And you know that's the truth, because Kim Abimelech looked at old grandma Sarah and said, she's beautiful, they want to marry her. And God gave him a dream and said, you touch her, you're dead. That's Abraham's wife, because he said, she's my sister. Somebody said he told a lie. Well, it was a half-truth and a half-life, whatever you want, but they were a half-born sister. You say, how could that be? Well, that's the way it was. That's the Bible. But God changed them. And the promised son came forth. And we are promised the coming son. Are you hearing me tonight? We are promised the coming son. Just like Abraham was promised the coming son. But in order for that promise to take place, Abraham did not make it happen. Listen to this carefully. God gave the promise to Abraham and he believed. He believed. Romans 4 said there was an account of them for righteousness. The imputation of righteousness. But Abraham didn't change himself. God changed him. And it was God that made Sarah conceive. It was God that changed Sarah. And the son Isaac come forth. A promised seed. And we're promised again as the sons and daughters of God that the son's coming. And all he wants to do, us to do, is believe. And he is coming. And he's coming for you. Coming for you. Now I'll tell you what importance would we put on some things if we knew for 100% sure the Lord will come before the morning? What importance would we put on some things? And no importance on some other things. Is that the truth? No, we don't know. But a prophet of God said, be ready. Be ready. Be ye ready every moment and every hour. Be ye ready, for he cometh in an hour you think not, but you need to be ready. You need to be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, knowing the Lord Jesus as your own Savior and filled with the Holy Spirit of promise. I tell you, you see, this mortal body, a further difficulty is that our present bodies are sinful and they need transformed like the bodies of Christ. One more scripture and I'm coming to the close of the night. Philippians 3 and 21. Who shall change our vile body? What's it say? It says what it says here. It's written right. Doesn't need changed. This is the truth. Who will change our vile body? That it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. According to the working whereby is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Isn't that wonderful? God's going to transform us. He's going to transform us. And those who died and went to heaven, left their bodies behind, will not be complete in the sense. There'll be a resurrection. A resurrection. But they're not in them graves. They're not in them. They're saved and born again. They're with the Lord. But the graves are going to be opened. And you know that Jesus Christ is the first fruits of the resurrection. He rose on the third day. God raised him. And you know when he raised from the dead, there was a place prepared for the Old Testament saints called Abraham's bosom. It wasn't heaven. It was a place prepared for them. The blood of Jesus hadn't been shed. The blood hadn't reached heaven at that point. They were still working under an old sacrificial law. And the blood of an earthly lamb or a bullock or a turtle dove or a pigeon. And the priest was doing his administration in the temple. But when Jesus Christ said those words, "It's finished," the veil in that temple was rent from the top to the bottom. And God was saying, "He's made a new and living way into heaven itself." And the very blood of Jesus reached the whole way to heaven. Hebrews chapter 9 tells us it. As the earthly things are sprinkled by these, so the heavenly with a better sacrifice than these. Which are the figures of the true. And he emptied Abraham's bosom. He emptied it. And the Bible says them Old Testament saints rose. And they saw them in the streets and in the cities. They rose up. They come out. And I tell you, what's it really going to be? Brothers and sisters, this evening it's a serious thing. Glorious for us the saved. But for the unsaved it's not glorious. It's a terrible thing. Two'll be in the field, one taken, one left. Two'll be in the bed, one taken, one left. Think of that tonight. We say, "I want to be like Jesus." Well, then we need to pray for the lost. How many agrees with it tonight? Amen. Jesus Christ had a compassion for the unsaved. He said, "It's not my will that any should perish, but that all should come to the saving knowledge of the truth." So we should pray to that end, that they'll all be saved. And believe that God will move in our own families especially. Let's stand our feet tonight, praise God. The Lord bless you. You've listened well this evening. Let's close our eyes tonight. Jesus Christ is coming again. Coming again. And we're leaving. We're leaving. We're leaving this all behind. Not matter, but some things we put so much importance on won't matter then. But he's coming. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight that you're coming again. This is your own words. "I go to prepare a place for you. And I will come again and receive you unto myself." Father, I pray for each one in this room. You'll bless and strengthen everyone. Cover them with your precious blood. I'm asking you for myself, for each one in this house. Lord, we have children, we have relatives that are not saved. Lord, we're asking for mercy in their behalf, that you'll save them, that you'll speak to them, that you'll move upon them and grant them to come to the saving knowledge of the truth. Lord, sons, daughters perhaps, husbands, wives, aunts, uncles, even brothers or sisters. Lord, you know every one of them, everyone in this house. As a body, we bring them all before you, Lord, in prayer tonight. We plead your precious blood over each and every one of them, the token we ask to be upon them. We claim them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ this evening. And we pray you'll grant them mercy and grace and bring them in. Help us, Lord, to be the men and women of God that you want us to be while we're here. Lord, may we leave the right testimony. Written epistles seen and read of all men. Forgive us our shortcomings and our failures. And fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit. Give us a spirit of revival, not survival. Fill us with great expectation that you're coming again and you're going to move. Heal the sick and the afflicted. Save the lost. Have your way amongst us. Bless all that would hear this message. And those that need a touch, touch them. Minister unto them. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. And Lord, we'll give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. And our brother Mark comes and we'll be back on Thursday night again, the Lord willing. And the Lord's always willing. Pray we get another haul because I'm about sick of the disco dances and the stuff in the background here on Thursday nights. It's It's real off-putting for you preaching and praying. And there was a lot of noise here Thursday night. We need to get another hall out of here. I'm telling you. We need to get a place that nobody else is dancing about in around the background, having parties and whatever they're doing. And I have no thing against any of them. But we're here to worship the Lord. And the Lord's house needs to be consecrated to God. And you can't have the two or three different things going on. It doesn't work. It's disturbing the Spirit of God moving. I believe that. We need to look out and be real about it and try and get somewhere. Even for the Thursday night prayer meeting especially. God requires reverence, doesn't it? Isn't that the truth? And I tell you, you pray and believe. The Lord will get us something. And the Lord bless each one.
Sing that 177 in the Redemption Hymnal. Jesus was slain for me at Calvary. Crowned with thorns was he at Calvary. There he in anguish died. There from his open side poured forth the crimson tide at Calvary. Amen.
Jesus was slain for me at Calvary. Crowned with thorns was he at Calvary. There he in anguish died. There from his open side poured forth the crimson tide at Calvary. Pardoned is all my sin at Calvary. Cleanses my heart within at Calvary. Thy robes of praise I wear. Gone are my grief and care. Christ for my burdens there at Calvary. Wondrous his love for me at Calvary. Glorious his victory at Calvary. Vanquished our death and death. All at his praise is spent. Every tongue shall tell of Calvary.
Let's sing it over once more then.
Jesus was slain for me at Calvary. Crowned with thorns was he at Calvary. There he in anguish died. There from his open side poured forth the crimson tide at Calvary. Pardoned is all my sin at Calvary. Cleanses my heart within at Calvary. Now robes of praise I wear. Gone are my grief and care. Christ for my mercy.